Hi, everybody. How are you doing today? We've been talking about the apostles, the message they proclaimed. It started with Jesus, with the gospel of the kingdom, and it's going to end up at the end of the age, Matthew 24:14, with the gospel of the kingdom being proclaimed to all the nations as a witness. And then the end will come. You know, I said this the other day in one of my teachings, but you know, twice this last week or so, I've been accused of being a Jehovah's Witness because I was testifying of Jesus. You know, the church needs to know that we have a great commission from our Lord. Let's look today in Acts chapter 8, in verse 1. Saul was there and gave his approval to the death of Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem. And all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. The apostles were in Jerusalem, but the people of God were scattered everywhere because of persecution. We must go hide. We must go, we don't want them to find us. We could get into a lot of problems. Was that the attitude of the church? Look what it says in verse 4 of Acts chapter 8. Those who had been scattered preached the word everywhere they went. Do you see that? The army, the body of Christ, proclaimed the word of God everywhere they went. Can that kind of give you an idea of where our church system is today? Can you imagine a church and the people in that church actually going out and proclaiming Jesus Christ to the world everywhere they go? We hide behind the four walls of a building. We don't talk about religion or politics, okay? What I'm saying is, we're been told these are things we just don't talk about in society. There's such a diversity of understanding. That's not the way the book of Acts is, and that's not the way the early church was. They boldly proclaimed Jesus as Lord, Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus as the Christ, as the Holy Spirit empowered them. But we've also in the church said, oh, the power of the Holy Spirit is not available for us today. We don't believe in this baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was a historical thing that happened back in Acts 2. It doesn't happen anymore. All the apostles died, etc., etc. Can you see why the world doesn't want to join the community of the church? Because the church is not in a real good situation. Jesus is not, I guess I'm trying to say that the world can't see Jesus in a lot of our churches. And yet the early church here, when the persecution came, the apostles were at Jerusalem and the army of the Lord, not the clergy, not the pastors, not the evangelist, but the people of God went everywhere and shared the word everywhere, it says, throughout Judea and Samaria. And now we're going to focus in on Philip. He was one of the seven, we would call them deacons, that served under the apostles for a while and helped the poor and so on and so forth. But then the Lord kind of put him in a new position. And the Bible said that he's an evangelist. And so Philip, it says here in verse 5 of Acts 8, Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he couldn't help but proclaim Christ, could he? Because that's what was so real in his life. He proclaimed Christ to that city of Samaria. And notice what took place. And when the crowds heard Philip's mighty wisdom and his 4 points and a poem and how beautiful his oratory was of his words, they were immediately convinced. No. And the world today won't be convinced either. Look what it says. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs that he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. When they saw him getting healed on the streets, when they saw the blind eyes open and the lame walking and the people healed out in society on the streets. God's bringing the church back to that. We just need to get our theology out of the way and go back to the Bible. You know, I said this on one of my teachings, but I'm going to say this again. You know, I was discipling a young girl from the Congo, and also her friends were Muslims. And we were going through the book of Acts, or just Acts chapter 2, and we were reading it. I was so shocked. I put the Bible in the hands of a Muslim girl and asked her to read it, and then I asked questions. And, of course, it was talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, being baptized for the remission of sins, and all these other kinds. I mean, just all the things there in Acts chapter 2. And every time I asked this Muslim girl a question about it, she said, well, yeah, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke with new tongues. She just literally took the word of God for what it said. And I thought to myself, if I had a denominational person sitting in front of me, someone had been trained in a seminary, someone had been trained in a Bible school, they would have come up with all kinds of interpretations why God is not almighty anymore, why he can't do miracles and signs and healings and this passed away and that's not necessary anymore, and have brought the church to the powerless condition that it's in today. But the Muslim girl didn't know any better than to read the Bible and believe what it says. We need to rest. We need the church to be restored. We need to go back and see the pattern of the early church, because that's the only pattern we have of the church. It's the Word of God. It's time we quit changing the Word of God. It's time we quit twisting interpretations into the Word of God that the Bible doesn't say it. We've twisted it in there, and then we think we are restoration people. We let the Bible speak and silent when it's silent. No, we don't. We take something training in some seminary, and it's proclaimed throughout the pulpit, and the people believe it, and therefore that's a powerless church. And Satan is just laughing at us. He's just laughing at us. So Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed the anointed king, Christ Christos. Signs, wonders, miraculous signs. Then they paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Acts 8:7. That is the preaching of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God comes not in word only, but also in power. Look what happened. We'll go down to verse 12 of Acts 8. And when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God, you see that? In the person of Jesus Christ, then they were baptized, both men and women. Then they were baptized into Jesus Christ. You see the pattern we see through the book of Acts? We've taken the power out of the church. We've taken the response to the gospel away from the church, so that people aren't responding correctly. And we wonder why we can't get anybody to go to church, because we don't believe in going out, you know, and proclaiming Christ. I mean, we believe it, but we don't do it because we're powerless, because we don't believe in that we shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon us, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and we will be a witness, Acts 1:8, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and other parts of the earth. We don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in all these things. So what do we have left, really? Have you thought about it? Now look at this. So Philip, in verse 26, now the angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. A eunuch was someone, a male that had been castrated, that serves in the presence of females in a king or queen's court. He was an Ethiopian. He was an African man, young man. He was an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace. Candace is a title of a queen. Queen of Ethiopians, she was. And he was in charge of the treasury. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. He worshiped the true and living God, Jehovah, but he didn't have a revelation of Jesus at this moment. And he was on his way coming back home, and he was sitting in his chariot. That was the Cadillac of that day. And he had a book, a scroll of the book of Isaiah, written 700 years before Christ. He had this scroll with him in that chariot. And the Spirit of God told Philip, go and join yourself or stay near to that chariot. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. Do you understand what you're reading? And here's what the answer was. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come and to sit with him. And the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. And this passage is from Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 7 and 8. I want you to notice this. He was like a sheep. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He was like a lamb before the shearer is silent. He did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from him? And the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And then Philip began at this very passage in the Old Testament Isaiah and preached to him Jesus. Think about it. 700 years before Christ, we have a perfect description of Christ, his mock trial, going to the cross, his humiliation, 700 years before Christ. It was written down in the book of Isaiah. Look what it says. He was like a sheep. He went to the slaughter, right? He was like a lamb. He didn't open his mouth and start to argue, or he said nothing. He didn't even open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was humiliated by the stripped of his clothes, and he was humiliated, and he was deprived of justice. It was a mock trial. And who could speak of his descendants? Because he was cut out of the land of the living. His life was taken from him. It was a perfect description of Jesus Christ going to the cross on our behalf and suffering the way he did. And then Philip took this passage written 700 years before Jesus actually came to earth. And he says, this has been fulfilled. And he preached to him Jesus. I want you to see this. And as they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? What would hinder me from being baptized? Now, I want you to notice who said what. It wasn't Philip says, now, here's some water, you need to be baptized. No. All the passage says is this, that out of the book of Isaiah, that Philip took that passage out of Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, and he proclaimed the message of Jesus. And as they came to some water, the eunuch's heart was wide open to the Jesus, the Messiah. And he says, there is the water. What would keep me right now from going down into the water and being baptized? And then Philip gave him the requirements. If thou believest with all thy heart, Acts 8:37, then thou mayest. It's not a half-hearted. It's not just a ceremonial symbol. It's not just something that we'll do when we get enough candidates together. It's not something that we'll practice when the water gets warm. There was water. How did that eunuch know that he was to be baptized? Well, all it said was that Philip preached Jesus. So we could probably come to the conclusion that within the preaching of Jesus, the presentation of the gospel of Christ, that water baptism is part of that call to respond to Christ. Jesus said it in Mark 16, he that believeth and is go into all the world, Mark 16, 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone, to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And for the believers, signs will accompany the preaching. Casting out demons? You know what? There's as many demons on the earth today as there was in Jesus' day. There's as many sick people. It says, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. There's as many sick people in the world today as there was in Jesus' time. There's as many demonic forces. There is the availability of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It says, these signs will follow the believer. They shall speak with new tongues. All of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is available. The power to cast out demons, to heal the sick, and to demonstrate the gospel of the kingdom, that the king has arrived and has overthrown the authority and power of the evil one. And these signs will prove it. And we've taken it away from the church. Said it doesn't happen. Can't happen. God must not be almighty anymore. Let me tell you something. Jesus said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said in Matthew 28, that all power in heaven and earth has been given unto him. Go ye therefore and make disciples. I have the power, and the power is designated to you to go forth and make disciples. And the signs accompanied and followed them as they went out and proclaimed the word. But we've just watered it down so that, you know, we don't even call people to repentance, to water baptism, to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to all the things that the Lord said that we needed. We've said it's all done away with. We don't say these things, but that's what we practice. It's all done away with. There's no empowerment. There's no witnessing. There's no army spreading out everywhere preaching Jesus. And we're sitting behind four walls, quite comfortable. God's wanting to change that. And that's why I'm speaking these words. So I want you to consider, not what I say, but the word of God and what it says. For Jesus says, you're to teach people to observe what I tell them to do. In other words, not just give them information, but they're to observe the things that I command. What did he command? Preach the gospel of the kingdom, preach repentance, preach water baptism, preach baptism of the Holy Spirit, lay hands on the sick, cast out demons, all of these things. Jesus commanded his followers, and he commands us today to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit and show the resurrected life of Jesus Christ to a world, and we will see people changed and turning to him. God bless you. We'll see you next time.